It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Praise God. Well, we made it through what the world calls Friday the 13th. Friends, it was the day which the Lord hath made. We rejoiced, and we're glad in it. Were you as well? It's so amazing how spiritualism and everything has taken over, but it hasn't taken over. We're going to learn today that God is still in control. This is the devil's final this is his activity nearing his final battle. He has been allowed to show the universe what the experiment called sin really is, and we're just seeing the final actions leading up to the climax of all of that. But God is in control. Let's stay with him. Let's be faithful. It's time for our opening prayer on this Sabbath morning. My wife, Andrea Jeff, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for this day, your Sabbath day. We thank you for this time to come together for worship. And now we ask, as your word is open, that your spirit will come and teach us this morning. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and bless us, Lord, as we continue to grow in grace and in wisdom. Give us what we need to be ordered to draw closer to you and stay faithful. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
All right, praise God. We will be studying today Exodus chapter 28, verses 7 through 13. This is part two of the High Priest. And I don't know how long it will be, and because we're having worship again at 12, we're not going to do wellness. So if the Lord moves such, it may be shorter than normal. But God bless you. Happy Sabbath. It doesn't have to be long to be strong. We'll let God lead. At this time, we're going to ask you, if you'd like to, turn in your Bibles there, or I will be reading in your hearing. Exodus chapter 28, starting with verse 7. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for just the love you have. Thank you for your Spirit. I pray that you will put your Spirit upon us and cause us to walk in your statutes. We just want to be instruments of blessing in your hand. We ask that you would bless us this day, that your name will be glorified in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, then. Remember, just for the sake of context, the ephod, the garment that the priest wore, it was made of, verse 6, they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet. I'm sorry, actually, I think we just dealt with verse, so we're going to start with verse 6. Verse 5, we dealt with gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen in the garment. And then in verse 6, and they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. So we learned that gold represents faith and love. We represent, and just for the record, I can tell you where we found that. That was in, we read that in Counsels on Health, page 402. But when you just study the Bible about gold, you'll see that that's what the Bible brings out. So the gold is faith and love. The blue, remember the ribbon of blue that we learned about? That was obedience to God's commandment. The purple is a combination of scarlet and blue, or red and blue, and that represents royalty, the robe of the king. That's why when they mocked Jesus as the king, they put on him a purple robe. Scarlet represents the blood of Jesus and therefore self-sacrificing love. And fine twine linen, we didn't talk about fine twine linen yet, and therefore we'll talk about that at this time. Verses 7 and 8 of Revelation 19 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. You see here? Sure, I get it reversed here. Okay. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So now, to faith and love, to obedience to God's commandments, to royalty, to self-sacrificing love, we add righteousness. Now, these are all traits of Christ, but we are to be like Christ. So, my friends, we have faith. We have love, just like Jesus had when he was here. We have righteousness and obedience to God's commandments in the blue, and God has called us his children. That makes us royalty. We are called in Peter a royal priesthood, a holy nation, okay, so that we are part of royalty. We must also exercise self-sacrificing love for our brethren, for the world, and we will be clothed in righteousness. Verse 7, and it shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so shall it be joined. So when they made the garment, it was like an apron, so to speak. And so, you know, I'm not a seamstress, but I've seen them, how they make one part that goes from the bottom up to this part, and they make the back part, and they sew them together. And then they have the whole garment. And so what we must understand is this is all symbolic. Jesus is part of the sovereignty of heaven, okay? In Hebrews chapter 1, God says, God, even thy God, which is him, which is the Father, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so the bottom line is God, Jesus is God. People like to say that he's not, there's only one God. They just don't want to study thoroughly. When the Bible says there's only one God, it's simply at that time identifying the Father as the only one who doesn't have anybody above him. But that doesn't mean that there are no other members of the Godhead that are God, okay? That's why in Hebrews, God the Father calls God the Son God. And if I would call the Son God, I don't want to sound so much like I'm calling it the Son God, right? Calls his Son, S-O-N, God, okay? So if the Father calls the S-O-N God, it's okay for me to call him God. I don't care what people say. I don't care how much they try to twist scripture. It's not biblical to not say that Jesus is God. Again, every time you read that there is one God, it's always saying one God and Father of all. So it's not that there's only one God. There's only one God who is also a Father. See, but they don't want to admit that. But that is exactly what the scripture says. Jesus is God. And so as our high priest, one set is his sovereignty over the universe of heaven, but it's joined to the back piece, and that is his sovereignty over the universe of the earth. I'm sorry, over the realm of the earth, my friends. And so we need to understand that Jesus is in control. You know, that's important for us to dwell on. That's important for us to dwell on when we think of this teetering economy, okay, this fragile economy that we are in. That's important for us to remember. It's important for us to remember that Jesus is in control when we understand that rights are being taken away, that people can look right in a camera, politicians, and lie like it's nothing. And the things that they talk about, just a reasonable person, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to give examples because if I give an example of a Republican, they might make them mad. If I give an example of the Democrats, that might make them mad. But just simple reasoning, the things that they argue about and talk about and, you know, whether it, you know, I can't mention this because it's on both sides. The classified documents issue, you know, just... You know, it's crazy, brothers and sisters. It's politics, you know. And we must understand that God is not into politics. He's not a political God. He's a sovereign God. And so that is what God wants us to understand, that he is in control of the affairs, not only of heaven. He is in control of the affairs of this earth. So when we see the teetering politics, the fragile politics, the fragile economy, when we see the health being deteriorated by things natural and man-made, okay, when we see crime at an all-time high, when we see travel being disrupted, when we see weather patterns that are destructive, when we see men's hearts failing them for fear, we must understand that there is still a God in heaven and he's still in control. The Bible says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. God says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so, my friends, even though we're 6,000 years beyond that verse, over 6,000 years beyond that verse, it will, from our estimation, 2027 will be the 7,000th year. The bottom line is the devil is more angry and more angry and more angry because he knows he's lost. He's lost. He's not losing. He's lost. And so he does what military strategists call fighting a delay in battle. When you are being pursued by the enemy, they put booby traps, they lay landmines, They do everything they can to destroy and slow down the approaching enemy that's about to conquer them. So the devil is in his last desperate push for ascendancy and power. And that's why you see this is being allowed as the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn. If you don't have the Spirit filling you, he's going to be withdrawn from you. Friends, that's why we see all the things. So it's important for us to see that Jesus is joined at the ephod, was joined at the shoulders. He's not only King of kings in heaven, he's King of kings on the earth. He is still in control. We're just seeing the devil fighting his delaying action. All right, that was verse 7. It shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges, and so it shall be joined together. We take you also to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that's talking about the government of earth, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So he's kind of encompassing the whole Godhead there. So my brothers and sisters, the bottom line is God is in control of this government, and the government is on Christ's shoulder. That means you can carry it. If you have to carry something, your shoulder is the best place to carry it if you have to carry it for a long time. If you carry something, just holding it in your hand, or, you know, it'll drag you down. But if you can put it on your shoulder, that's why people do, that's why the shoulder swore. You can carry things on your shoulders. If you have to carry a human, you have to carry him like this, you know, like this. That's a long way to carry somebody. You see somebody laying down and you pick them up, you have to carry them. But if you have to carry for a long time, that's too wearying. But if somehow they could sit up and you could put them on your shoulders, if you could do that, that's much easier to carry them for a longer distance. All right, that's what we want to share with you. In verse 8, and the curious girdle of the ephod, and that word curious, that means finely woven. The curious girdle, the finely woven girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even gold, the faith and love, blue, obedience to God's commandments, purple, royalty, scarlet, self-sacrificing love, and fine twined linen, righteousness. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. So that means all the tribes were written, engraved on that stone. Friends, you are part of spiritual Israel. I am part of spiritual Israel. Our names are engraved upon the stones. And let's see what happened with those stones. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six on their names on one side and the other six of the rest on the other stone. I'm sorry, six of their names on one stone and the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. That's reminding me that we all have a different work to do. Each of the tribes had a different work to do, a different personality, a different blessing. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. You know, so interesting. God engraved the Ten Commandments with his own finger. And so with his own finger, he writes on us and writes us in his heart. And that's so beautiful, my friend. That's the new covenant. Writing the law in our hearts. God is the great engraver. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, thou shalt engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in, I believe this is pronounced outer, but it looks like the word ouch, like as in ouch, like it hurts. But I don't believe that's the right pronunciation. But I haven't been able to get the pronunciation secure to know exactly what it is. I would just call it ouches based on the phonetics that we usually use of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod. God is carrying us, my friends, on his shoulders. Not only his government on his shoulders, his church, his people, you and me, we're carried on the shoulder of Christ. He can bear us up. That's beautiful. Stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Christ represents us to the Father. Friends, isn't that beautiful? That God calls my name, your name. He calls the name of his people and holds them up before the Father. And thou shalt make ouches of gold. So the ouches were a clasp that actually kind of bound pieces together, but it was also used to hold a jewel or a stone, that type of thing. And two chains of pure gold at the end of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. We'll stop there at verse 14, and then we'll be talking about the breastplate when we come back tomorrow by the grace of God. Friends, God is good. Let's stay healthy today. Let's make sure that we don't eat too much. Let's keep our minds clear to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We will be talking about the golden calf in our worship today. That's at 12 o'clock. It's on Zoom. The Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. And on my timeline, that's at 12 noon, I will put a link on Facebook, and I also send that to our to those who receive our WhatsApp messages, okay? So look for that. But it's 557-587-3947, and the password is TORSO, the name of the ministry, TORSO, T-O-R-S-O-E in small letters, okay? If you get the link, I don't think you have to put the password in. I think that's how that works. But nonetheless, God is good. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for the worship that we have. We ask that you would bless us as we close out this service and this message, that we will remember that this fine twine linen, we now added righteousness to faith and love, which is gold. We've added righteousness to obedience to the commandments, because people can obey the commandment in their own strength, but that's not righteousness. And then we've added purple, which is royalty. We're royal children of yours. And then we had scarlet, which was the self-sacrificing love. And now we add true righteousness to that. We thank you for that. We thank you that we're engraved our names on stone, put on your shoulders for you to carry and present before the Father. And we just ask, Lord, that you will bless us, that we will be righteous today. Thank you for this beautiful Sabbath to remind us of the creative power that took us from the guttermost to the uttermost, and that has saved us, is saving us. I pray that you will bless us today, that we will commune with you in righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, God is good. I would like to ask again if my wife would at least begin. She can do the whole thing or do a portion of it, the fourth commandment, and then we will close out. At least get it started here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to have our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.